I mean, no, the libs are there. Matthew Iglesias is there.
Oh God, well, that's a reason to get off. Why would you call him a lib?
Isn't he a lib? He's a lib.
He's a centrist. Lib. He's not a lib.
That's like a lib ass thing to say.
No. Centrist is a lib. I'm a lib.
I hate that for you.
What? I'm liberal. I'm one of those like but liberal Antifa wine moms.
You're one of those hey boo.
I'm like.
You're one of them hey boo boo. Hey honey boo boo. Do you remember Honey Boo Boo?
Yes, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Oh, sorry.
I'm riffing.
Yes, and.
God, see what I mean? It's.
It just didn't make any sense. All right, let's start all over. This is not the beginning.
There's parts of this.
No.
Oh yeah. No. Nope. Oh, there are parts of this. Parts of this. You do mind holding that? There are parts of this that I'm gonna love showing to others.
Nobody cares.
Will you hold this? Fucking lib.
I am a lib.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm kind of like a socialist. Yes, I am.
You're not cool enough. I think you have to have like more tattoos.
I have two.
I think you have to have like shitty tattoos.
I'm gonna get a loon on my tramp stamp. I'm gonna get a tramp.
That's pretty
stamp
rad.
Loon.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. Is that true?
I decided I've been wanting to get a loon tattoo for a while because my first marathon was in Minneapolis. I went to college there, and then I ran that marathon with our mutual friend, Molly. We had such a wonderful time, and she got a loon tattoo to commemorate it, and I've wanted to get a similar loon tattoo, but I didn't know where I was going to put it because I wanted it to go into, like, just the right spot on my body, and then, like, last week, I was like, oh, my God. A loon tramp stamp.
Like a sign, like the, I imagine a cone of light shone down on you.
Yes.
And in that moment you knew.
Yes.
I'm going to get a loon on my lower back.
It was like, you know, the road to Damascus for Paul when God comes down and stops him in the road and says, immediately cease murdering people. And he's like, but what's your best deal? And God's like, how about I blind you? And God was like, if you don't put a loon as a tramp stamp on your body, then God's, I will blind you. And I was like, say less, queen.
God said,
say less.
God said, do it if you're bad. God said to Abraham, do it if you're bad.
I'm going to
do think
this.
You're bad? Do yeah. you think you're bad, Liz?
And then I was like, could somebody design a loon that's giving the middle finger? I understand loons don't have fingers. But like that to me would be like, if I could get a loon.
If chickens have
right
fingers, loon,
there,
loon, loons have
could
fingers.
Could I get a loon doing the double middle fingy? And I Googled it, but I think I might have to ask the tattoo artist to design a loon that is giving the double middle finger. And that is going to be my third tattoo. Book it.
Hello and welcome to Dingus of the Week, a weekly show where we key the driver's side door of the American experiment. I'm Zachary Oren Smith. I write about politics for Iowa Starting. Did you like that one? I thought that was pretty good. I write about politics for Iowa Starting Line, and I'm here with Liz Lenz, the author of Dingus of the Week newsletter. This podcast is the audio second course of the newsletter's visual feast. Sign up at its new home on Patreon. It's not even its new home. It's just been there forever. Patreon.com/Liz Lenz. That's LENZLY. Sorry, LYZL. I'm going to take that again. That's, what a day. It's cold out. That's at patreon.com/LYZLENZ.
He can spell.
I can spell. Wherever you listen, help support the show. Like and subscribe to our YouTube. Rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Share this episode with a group chat near you. And of course, become a patron of the Dingus Arts on patreon.com. Again, just so that I can prove to the world that I can spell my co-host's name, LYZLENZ.
Wow, there's too many L's and too many Z's.
It's a mess of L's.
It's not okay, I've done.
It's truly an atrocity worth exploring. That's maybe, right. maybe later. I do want to flag the best way you can support a growing show like this is by doing one of those things. So really leave a review. Next episode, we might even read a few of them on air.
I mean, we would love it if you became a subscriber. That would be lovely. But you just share it. Just share it on the internet. Do a little sherry share. Tell people, hey, here's this really annoying podcast. Don't listen to it. And then post it on Facebook for all your boomer friends.
You know, Liz, now's a great time to do that. Normally with a podcast, you know, I'd be reticent to share an episode before I listen to the whole thing. Because like, what if they
accidentally go a little Nazi?
One thing I can confirm to you, we have a no Nazis guarantee. We only punch Nazis on this show.
We only punch Nazis, not to say we will not get problematic with our bold ideas.
On Christmas music, Beauty and the Beast, famously.
Beauty, that is not controversial, you dumbass.
And was it Scott's?
Oh, Sean's.
Sean's, that's right.
These are all the things that we have controversial ideas on, but...
Do not share it with your Sean-based group chat, if you have
or
one.
Or do it and pick violence. But we're pretty safe these days because... We're both journalists. We both live in the red state of Iowa.
We do.
And so we see what's going on, and it's part of what we have to work on and write about, even though we make jokes on this podcast. We're very serious boys here.
Buttoned up, in
fact.
But
you've been working on something that is really interesting, and we were talking about it the other day, and it is something I think, while it is a hyper-local story, this story is replicated all around the nation, but you might not even know about it. Can you tell us about it?
I would love to. So to begin, one of the last stocks of affordable housing in the United States is manufactured housing, mobile homes. Zoning commissions and city councils have worked to push this housing into the margins. It remains a really important stock for many Americans. And increasingly, this isn't new. This has been going on for years. Private equity has been buying up mom and pop mobile home parks and jacking up the rents. And this has happened in Iowa. One operator, Haven Park Communities, formerly Haven Park Capital, around 2019 began buying up a ton of these small mobile home parks across the state. And you were seeing 39% rent increases, 69% increases. I talked to one person, 121% increase from what they had with the prior owner. And on top of that, you have these horror stories about the treatment by staff against tenants, but also just what's been available. Right now, over on iowastartingline.com, I have a story about how one park south of Iowa City has had residents talk about just years and years of bad water, right? Like contaminated water water contaminated with manganese at such high levels that the Iowa Department of Natural Resources got involved, which for those that don't know, not an organization known for its proactive regulatory capacity. And on top of that, right, as if that couldn't get as if bad water, like a turbid water, brown water wasn't bad enough. Because this, I looked up this park on the county assessor's office. It used to be a quarry, and in the 90s, a bunch of dirt was laid to, put the mobile home park on. Right. But because of whether due to bad compaction, whether due to just an insufficient drainage system, you have residents, when it rains, dirt shoots out from under their homes. People have these voids that are beginning to amass underneath their homes. Support piers are dangerously teetering in some cases. I examined three homes where you have these support peers, right? Which, like, again, support the home, this person's home, that a bunch of soil has eroded out from underneath it, right?
Yeah.
Not a safe condition for these residents.
It's so bad too, because this is the story of private equity that happens over and over and over again. It's, they come in, they buy out things, hospitals,
that's right.
You know, mom and pop shops, and mobile home parks, and then everything just gets worse. And like in residence in these years, apartment complexes,
that's right.
My friend Megan Greenwell wrote a really wonderful book on private equity titled Bad Company. She didn't include mobile home parks, but she said she thought about it. But, you know, and they come in and they buy up these things, and that, you know, most people just kind of look the other way. But what it does is it just makes life immeasurably worse. Hospitals bought and run by private equity firms have higher death rates, and the emergency rooms have, like, you know, longer waits and response times. Like, it's not like they're coming in and making things better for people. They're coming in and they're just using them to squeeze as much money as they can for a larger portfolio. And in the meantime, people who have no other choices, like people who live in mobile home parks, like, this is not like, there's nowhere else to go.
No, there's not.
And in places, in a lot of places in America, I was going to say like Iowa, but I can think of so many places, there's no affordable housing. This is it. And then where are you going to go?
That's a tremendous problem. One of the things that I've kind of been noting as I've been going along, so Haven Park bought all these parks years and years ago. They've been in the process of unloading a lot of these parks. Normally the strategy that you hear about with private equity is that they buy up an asset and then they squeeze it for all it's worth.
Or they say they're going to make it run better. That's what they say.
Right. And so normally the strategy is they buy up assets and they find the most efficient way to squeeze the most value out of them, right? So they can then bring that value back to shareholders. In this case, the way they're approaching it is, it appears so there's like stories in fishing competitions about dubious contestants who will put lead shot in their fish, right? In their the bass they caught to try to have a heavier fish for the competition. This is like, it's like a problem. What appears that's happening is, by claiming that there are no erosion issues and not solving those erosion issues, by claiming there's no water issues, that they've solved those water issues, in a way they're trying to increase the value of the property. Meanwhile, it's clear that they're selling off other properties in the state. Yeah. What's happening with this one right now? Why wouldn't they invest in erosion control? Why wouldn't they invest in a better water system? Well, it would cost them money.
Yeah.
They would lose value in this transaction.
And the thing is, it's like the states have no desire to regulate.
Absolutely not.
And this is exactly what the government exists to do, is to regulate this stuff so that people who, you know, buy a mobile home and live there don't have to like put up with this bullshit. And yet, you know, we are seeing states, and not just red states, blue states, just have this kind of like lack of desire to regulate what private equity does, because there's this like neoliberal idea out there that private equity will just make things better. We just got to run like a business. We just got to run it better. Yeah, you want to run it like a business. Well, guess what businesses do? They'll kill people and not even care, because it's the bottom line. Like, we've seen this over and over and over again. Like, they're car companies will let an exploding vehicle stay on the market until otherwise stopped. And there's this like libertarian idea that's like, oh, well, a business would never like kill people because that's bad for business. It's like, businesses let people die all the time. They just, because it's actually good for business. It's far more expensive to fix these problems than to let a couple people die and then to settle some lawsuits. Like, sorry, boys. My dad is a corporate lawyer. And for a while, his job was working for a fertilizer company. And when people would say, hey, you're poisoning the water, he would just say, prove it. And the strategy was to just say, prove it over and over and over again until the people ran out of money or died. I mean, this is the Tyson meatpacking plant thing. They're like, oh, we killed you during COVID. Okay, great, prove it. And they will drag out the lawsuit until people die or run out of money. And this is the private equity playbook. And it's just, it's horrible. So like your reporting on this is like micro, it's hyper local to us. But it is a story that is replicated all over the country. And it is, I think, just a symptom of our scam economy that we have right now.
Always be scamming. And speaking of scammers among us, Liz, who's the dingus of the week?
Well, it should be private equity, but...
but private equity is the dingus every day.
All the time. Like AI.
Much like AI.
Private equity is
much maligned
like
AI.
A super dingus, if you will. Like lives in the air. But no, this week I felt normally I love to entertain nominations on the Discord and in the Patreon chat, which is still taking off. But like I'll say we need it's nomination day, boys. Let's go. I put this in the Discord every Thursday morning. We've got people who lock in. They're ready for this prompt. They've been thinking all week. And this week I did not entertain any nominations because there was such a clear winner. There could only be one.
And who was that illustrious individual?
The head of Border Patrol, Gregory Bovino.
Gregory. Tell me about Gregory.
Gregory
Liz.
Bovino is a little bitch. The shortest version.
Clinically speaking,
little bitch syndrome. Now, Gregory Bovino kind of like was Border Patrol, head of Border Patrol under Trump in his first administration. And now he's back and he's become the face, along with Kristi Noem, of these ICE raids. So he was
giving face to the faceless.
Yes. Because the ICE agents cover their faces. Good joke.
Thanks.
Zach.
I'm full of them.
No.
I'm full of them.
No.
Tell me I'm full.
Became this face of federal occupation of American cities during the Chicago Operation Midway Blitz. And I have to say, that is what the ICE and Border Patrol operation was titled by the administration. They titled it like a bombing campaign during a Middle Eastern oil conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're titling your efforts against your own citizens like that, that's not a deportation. That's not about crime. That is called a civil war.
It certainly is state-sponsored terrorism.
It's 100%. And my little quibble, and I think other people like quibble about, is like people keep calling ICE Nazis. Great. Keep doing it. Go for it, boys. But my little quibble is like, actually, this is like the Confederacy. Like, actually, we've been here before. Mm. This is a civil war, and it is racism, 100%. And so...
Literally, you look different. You sound different.
Yes!
I'm going to question whether or not you belong here.
Yes, there are so many ICE videos out there, verified videos of ICE agents saying, show me your passport, and somebody saying, well, actually... There was a video on Minnesota Public Radio of an Uber driver talking to Greg Bovino, saying to him, why are you asking for my documentation? And the Border Patrol agents say, because you have an accent. And God bless this Uber driver. He went viral. Can we play that?
We can absolutely play
that. Hey, the famous guy. I've seen this guy on TikTok. Look at it. He got gas canisters and shit. What's up, officer?
What's going on?
How you doing?
I have better than I deserve.
Man, let me step up, man. You can understand my English. I got an accent. I know that. I'm black, too. Right? You got a Boston accent.
No,
which is crazy. Yeah, what's going on, guys? I'm here. Homeland Security in person. The big boss over here.
What's going on?
They're just harassing people based on skin color. Are we in Germany?
No, come on.
What do you guys want to do today? You guys want to take me in or something?
Oh, that depends. Are you an illegal alien?
Illegal alien, man. I'm from it, yes. I might be from another planet.
Okay. Well, yeah. If that's the case, if you're from another planet, that counts too.
But it also involves Greg Bovino and this Uber driver saying, like, that Bovino was there at this rate. So the guy who heads it up is walking around enjoying deporting children and families, American citizens, and he's filming it all. And this little bitch is filming it from angles that make him look taller, which is like what this Uber driver pointed out, is like all the like camera angles. So this little great value Himmler out here
is like
trying to like, okay, here's the thing. I know this is like such a deal for men. Being short is not a big deal. I date short men all the time. It's fine. Do you know why nobody makes fun of Bob Dylan for being short?
Why, Liz?
Because he's not a Nazi. but Greg Bovino is out here like doing his I'm going to compensate, you know, bit, and his little Napoleon Bonaparte, and he's out here, and it's the stupidest thing because like families are getting ripped apart. There is a video of Greg Bovino pepper spraying a protester who's already on the ground. Handcuffed on the ground. This person has been subdued. And Bovino walks up and just sprays him. Like, what a little bitch thing to do. Like, if you're gonna go fight somebody, like, I'll fight you right now. You want someone to calm down?
You want someone to calm down? The last thing that will make them calm down is pepper spray to the face. That's insane.
And it's like, and Bovino is out here with his racist lollipop guild. And they are federally occupying American cities and perpetuating a war on American citizens.
Yeah.
And
another war not declared by Congress.
Yes, another, which do be the American way. You gotta give it. And it's just like, and this guy kind of seemed to come out of nowhere a little bit. So like he is actually, as is always the case, the son of Italian immigrants.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And per some of my reading, it took them quite a long time to get their naturalization papers. But no, now he's out here beating the hell out of other immigrants. And it's like, where did Donald Trump find this guy? Like, was he in a tree making cookies with other small boys? Like, was he the long forgotten fourth member of a gang of cereal elves? Snap, crackle, pop, and he was assault.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Snap, crackle, pop, assault. Yeah, classic. Did you read the WBZ write up of this guy?
No. Tell me about it.
They did a deep dive. They like called his sister. They called around, and props to WBZ for getting out there. One of the things that one of the details that I thought was incredible about this piece was they looked into like kind of his motivations to joining the Border Patrol, right?
Yes.
And he frequently will cite the 1982 movie The Border with Jack Nicholson as like his raison.
I did read this.
Which is hilarious because it's about corrupt Border Patrol officers.
Because I haven't seen the movie, so it didn't mean anything to me.
It's just about, so Jack Nicholson joins the Border Patrol and he gets put in with this corrupt Border Patrol agent, and a young Gregory was sitting in a dark theater and saying like, I could also do human trafficking.
He was like, I could also be a corrupt federal agent.
Smuggling drugs across the board. I could do that. I could do that. I want to do that with my future.
This bargain basement Bonaparte.
Which, it just as an aside, if you are a short man,
don't do crime.
If you are a short man, like, what is the one thing that we know about Napoleon? What is the first thing children learn about Napoleon? This man was the emperor king for a time. You know, like, this man was like such a powerful individual. And what is the one detail that we all know about him? So he's short as fuck.
This is why, just don't
Don't do authoritarianism. It's not a good, it's the short authoritarian isn't a good look. It never works out for you.
It doesn't work out. And I actually was like, because
leave it to the tall boys. Authoritarianism for talls.
For the big and talls.
Hello.
It is truly like we're being ruled by like weak male ego. And
where's the room for mine? Like, I don't know. Like, come on, justice.
My weak male ego. I also have a weak male ego.
This is what I love about you, Liz.
I do have that short king energy.
I've always said that about you.
They do say that about me. But it is like, it is like, if you are gonna be... You just don't be a horrible person.
It's not hard.
I didn't even know. I was looking up to make jokes. I do a lot of research for my jokes. I was looking up short men, like who's short? Because I felt complicated because I was like, I don't want to just make fun of short guys, but also Bovino's a little bitch. And
we make
I want to
make
fun
bitches.
Of him. And like he's literally going around making it worse. He did this photo shoot for CNN, for a CNN profile of him. And he literally looks like he got into mommy's dress up. Like he got into mommy's closet and dressed up like that. Things don't fit him. They're all a little too big. And he's standing there like proud, like, look at me in mommy's high heels. But if mommy was Heinrich Himmler, do you know what I mean? Because he's like wearing like the olive and everything.
Oh,
and it's
that's
like,
cute. I love your fit.
Yeah.
I love your, who like, dressed you? Who dressed
you,
Gregory?
Today, buddy? Did you dress yourself today, little guy? And it's like, man, no matter how many families you rip apart, mommy and daddy aren't going to love you anymore. And his parents are divorced. And I was like, oh, they're never getting back together, buddy.
It is really like
and
making ribbons
fault,
out
actually.
Of divorce, you know, like being a successful kid coming out of a divorce home. Like there's only one of two ways, right? Either you're fucking normal or you're this guy, like really bringing down the value of that asset class.
And I gotta say, like, as somebody who does date men and it's awful, but like you'll date a 40-year-old man and he'll be like, God, the worst thing that ever happened to me was my parents' divorce when I was 12. And I'm like, that's the worst thing that ever happened to you? Because I was sexually assaulted. Like,
dog.
Like, yeah.
Get in line.
You know, like the worst thing that happened to you was your parents amicably split and you got
two Christmases.
Like, you can't.
Grow up.
Like, seriously. I was like, you want something worse to happen to you? Because I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
You want more trauma? Let me traumatize you right now, my friend.
I come from a broken home and now I must break yours. That's good.
In a way, I feel like it's my job to traumatize these men so much that they forget about their parents' divorce.
So that
because
next time-
I'm sorry, like you have a charmed life. If the worst thing that happened to you
was dating Liz Lenz. I went on one date with Liz Lenz. She called me short. She called me a short king. Not it was derogatory. One more detail from this WBZ.
Yes.
One of the other things that was revealed was when he was in high school, one of the things he was known for was that he was great at finding snakes. He really.
Every time he looked in the mirror.
So this is exactly the joke. Like he was so good at finding snakes, other than himself, right? The one snake in the grass that he couldn't find was himself all along, right?
Takes one to know one.
The snake in the grass was the friends we made along the way.
I mean, like that's such a Slytherin thing.
Yeah.
You know, good for him, I guess. But like, wow. Yeah. So this is our dingus this week, and I just don't think there have been a lot of great videos of people just yelling shit at Greg Bovino. God bless Minneapolis. Like, God bless Minneapolis.
Team Minnie.
I mean, I love them. Like, I went to college in Minnesota.
Yep.
You know, this is part of my home is there.
You have a Minnesota friend. Yeah, that's right.
I got a friend. I know. I went to a Lutheran college in Minnesota, and I graduated knowing four men named Bjorn.
That's pretty Minnesota.
And two Elenas. These are people my age. They are named that unironically. And do you know what they do for fun in minus 50 degree weather? They go out on a lake and fish. This is what these people do for fun. And now Greg Bovino and Trump and Kristi Noem are learning what they do when they hate you. Because it's like Minnesota nice up to a point.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, and not only are you seeing what they do when they hate you, but they'll never forgive.
Oh no, this is grudge country.
This is grudge country, and like, you know, 100 years is gonna go by, and then, you know, Bjorn's gonna be sitting in his little rocker and being like, Greg Bovino, oh geez, he's a little bitch.
You mean Gregory the little bitch? Yeah. Like, you betcha I do.
Yeah, like, yeah, oh yeah, you betcha. It's just like, and God bless, but like, I love every single one of those videos of somebody seeing Greg Bovino and like screaming at him. And is there any truth to the fact that like Sean Penn's character in One Battle After Another,
they just kind of look like
they
one.
Are so similar. When Greg Bovino and Sean Penn's character, and they're like, Sean Penn's character has the lifts.
He's sticking that comb in his mouth real slow, like, and getting that through the hair.
Oh,
you know Gregory saw that and was like, "That's pretty. Dude's got a point. I kind of like his thought."
Yeah, he was. But I just like, if you see Bovino in the streets, call him a little bitch.
Yeah, call him a little bitch. Tell him I said hey.
Tell him we says hey, and he's a little bitch.
Another really fun bit about him. Do you remember the toilet phalanx photo? So Gregory needed to use the potty. And so he decided to take a posse with him. He's got line to line ice folks in this photo. We'll project it right here. To defend him while he poops.
One time at camp, there was an annoying little shit. And he's still annoying, actually. This kid wants... He's an adult now, but like a couple years ago, got into my like messages and was like, hey, it's nice to see you again, blah, blah, blah. And then I like asked him some things, and then he ended up like being like, and I also hate your writing. And I was like, bitch, you can't found me. Like, what are, anyway. So this kid, his name is Tim. I hated him from the, it's just like one of those people you meet. And even as a child, you're like, I hate you. And I'm out to get you. And he, and a lot of people felt this way about this little weasel. And at camp, he, one time, he went into a porta potty. And this wasn't even my idea. I wish I could take credit for it. But like some other girls were like, let's get him.
Yeah, they didn't flip it.
No, we duct taped it. And then we shook it. Back and forth and back and forth.
You don't want to shake those pots.
We did. And then a counselor, we did not get in trouble for this, by the way, because I think the counselors also were annoyed by him. But they came and stopped us before I don't think we were going to tip it. But
it sounds like you were trying to tip it, dog.
He was,
you were shaking it. This is what you told the cops afterwards.
Listen, we had no intention. It was a little harmless fun, officer. Please, plausible deniability.
Am I being detained, officer?
Am I being detained? Show me what law I have broken. Am I being arrested? So I would say that would be awesome to do to the Bovino. So I can understand why he might want a guard, because he might have actually experienced the potential pitfall.
What if that's
of pooping
Tim
in a porta pot?
What if that's Timmy?
It's not.
What if
Tim.
What if that was Timmy?
What it's not. It's
maybe
not
you
Timothy.
Created the Darth Vader of ice.
I listen. I wish, but I would remember. My daughter says that I am a bully.
Yeah, but like you are a bully.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, you want to play a game? I did see too that on the news this morning that ICE is now saying they don't need warrants. And yep. I just like, they're just like, actually, new rule, we can violate the Constitution.
turds float to the top of ICE.
New rule. We're going to take the writ of habeas corpus and wipe our ass with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no.
I can't wait for all my social libertarians to go out in the streets in Minnesota, right? Like, I'm sure the social libertarians are going to be out there with their very cerebral, intellectual, constitutional conservatism. I'm really excited to see them.
Kathy's going to be like, oh, you passed a rule that said you don't need a warrant. No, she's going to be like, I have watched every single episode of Law and Order. I know you need a warrant, bitch. Get that warrant. Like, good luck. Good luck.
It's bankrupt. And from this bleak pit of Gregory's sin, let's take a break. And we're back. Liz.
Zach, do you want to play a little game?
I would be honored.
Okay. So.
Did you take the game back from me because I couldn't, you didn't like my game last time? I thought my game was really good.
Your game was very good last time.
Was my game not good enough for you, Liz?
I took the game back because I have control issues, but instead of becoming a corrupt Border Patrol agent, I just became a podcast bro.
Honestly? Okay. Okay, say what people love to make fun of podcast bros like me. Make fun of us all you want. If Greg was just like making a podcast about it, I would feel very differently about this man. It would just be another thing I don't listen to.
I would still hate him. He would still be a dingus, but there would be a lot less violent crime.
The hate in my heart is magnanimous enough to include his podcast too.
But when I am a podcast bro, it's chic.
Yeah,
but when you're
breaking through a glass ceiling.
Yeah,
you deserve
prison. Like, yeah. When I do it, it's great. It's like when
it's cute. It's like a fun little riff.
When I drink an IPA and like fix the sink, that's hot.
Yeah, it's different.
When men do it, it's like cool.
Yeah,
thanks for doing your job. Go fight a war.
Ugh. Ooh, nice monkey wrench.
Yeah,
monkey with you all along.
Yeah, when I gaslight somebody I'm dating, that's cool. When a man does it.
Bad. Boo. Ooh, yeah,
loneliness
for sure.
Epidemic.
While we're making light of the male loneliness epidemic, what's our game?
So I'm going to give you a choice because when I was coming up with the game for today, so Trump is in Switzerland, Davos, and the people do not like him there. And it warms my cold, dead heart to see the Swiss protesting. And nobody does a protest like the Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not any of that, like, pearl clutching, like, oh, we gotta be so good. They're like, fuck
no,
you,
we're
let's
burning
go.
Shit.
Let's brawl in the streets. Ah, my people. So I was loving the stories about people protesting Donald Trump at Davos. I also, while researching the game, found three quotes from Donald Trump about Greenland that just blew my mind. So we can either do three quotes from Donald Trump about Greenland, one is fake, or we can do three.
Can we play both?
Do you want to play both?
I want to play both.
Okay, so we'll start with the first one. The first one is three things that were on protest signs.
Okay, rad.
At Davos. So they're protesting mm-hmm. Trump. These are translated.
I ran it through Google Translate back and forth across languages and created a prose poem based on these.
This is from a Swiss news outlet.
Cool.
So there are three things that they said. Put Trumpster in the dumpster.
Solid. It's a really good translation.
Good job. The oceans are rising and so are we. And
that sounds very sweet. That's very EU coded.
And money stinks. Which one is
also
fake?
EU coded?
Which one is fake?
Number two, the oceans are rising up and so are we.
False. They're all true.
All right. We're going to. All right. Hey, Europeans, bring it in. Hey, Europeans, bring it in.
I loved Money Stinks. It was European. So good. I was just like, Money Stinks. And I was like, solid.
Hey,
no notes.
Hey, what's like a Swiss name? Hey,
I don't know.
Hey, Maurice. Hey, Maurice. Bring it in. Hey, Svec. Bring it in. We've got. Bring it in. We gotta workshop these before you go and write them on your posters. Okay,
emotions are rising, and so
sometimes
are we.
Sometimes first idea, not best idea. Okay, like this is we need kind of editing rounds. We need feedback. Oh, we need.
I love it.
Alliteration.
There is another one that's like the solution is revolution, and I was like, let's go.
Solution is revolution.
Let's go, boys. Write it up. Okay, this one actually does have a fake one. I tricked you with the first one.
Maybe a universal basic income does make people lazy. At least lazy joke writers.
If they didn't have all that free healthcare, maybe they'd work harder on their protest sign. You know, these are just like because they protest like every 6 weeks. They're like, oh, we got to protest something. Like maybe they're just like recycling these protest signs.
They've got to be like multi-purpose.
Money stinks
is universal.
Like, yeah. I just love that money stinks. Love that. Okay, this is three things Trump said recently this week about Greenland.
Okay.
And one is actually fake. I tricked you in the first round, but no, I will not be so evil.
I don't know that I can trust again.
Okay, the first one is, I'm helping Europe. I'm helping NATO. And until the last few days when I told them about Iceland, they loved me. They called me daddy, right? A very smart man said, he's our daddy. He's running it. That's the first quote.
I love that so much. I love that so much. Go on.
The second one. What I'm asking for is a piece of ice, cold and poorly located, that can play a vital role in world peace and world protection. It's a very small ask for what we've given them for many, many decades.
That's real.
And then the third one. I mean, nobody is there. Nobody wants it. They won't even notice it's gone. We'll make it better. We'll be a part of America, and suddenly everyone will want to visit. I'm telling you, America makes everything better, even cold, empty ice.
So in the first one, of course, he calls Greenland Iceland. Hilarious. Yeah. The second one, he just said, I just know in my heart of hearts that he said that. The third one, like he refers to it as something that nobody wants. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that he would say that. It's the third one. Third one's the fake one.
It's correct.
Dingus of the week. I have won once again.
He wins.
The winner.
Here's the thing, though, what's so funny is like he did in his speech keep calling Greenland Iceland.
Hilarious.
And when somebody in the press asked Caroline Leavitt about it, Dingus Award winner Caroline Leavitt, about this, she goes, he said a piece of ice, which is what it is. And like he actually didn't. He said Iceland multiple times, but she's just like, let me just gaslight people and say it keeps working though, because people will be like, oh yeah. And he said he won't use force. He said he doesn't want to.
Ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears, dog.
Yeah. Like he said he doesn't want to, but I don't think he's taking it off the table. I was reading the transcript of his talk. CNN and New York Times are like, Trump says he won't take Greenland by force. It's like, first of all, keep calling it Iceland. So let's just get it right.
Yeah, right. Which, I mean, sorry, Iceland. I guess you're back in the target. Your saunas are newly targeted, dog.
I mean, and I think they actually should be worried because of the American school system. I saw a joke on the internet that was just like, if we didn't keep having school shootings, people in other countries might not know we had schools.
Dark.
With our knowledge of geography, we might actually accidentally take Iceland, and then the Trump administration would be like, actually, no, it's Greenland, and then just rename it Greenland. And like, never, because it's like, do the stupidest stuff, never admit fault, never surrender. And then everybody's going to be like, what the? And
yeah.
It's like, well, guys.
The chuds.
And then New York Times will be like, Trump takes Greenland. Fact check. It's called Greenland because he renamed it Greenland. And I had this idea. I'm sorry, but I need to bring this up. Do you think he just wants to remake the American flag? Like, if we take Greenland.
He saw that sexy painting of like, Betsy Ross, and he's like, I want to be her. I want to be. He saw Mary Todd Lincoln. He was like, I also want to do a gender flip with this role.
Yeah. He was like, he's like, because I was like, how are we going to fit another star on there on our flag? And I was like, oh my God, what if he just redesigns the flag and is like, I did this. I bet he wants to.
Do you think that would make him stop? Do you think if we like let him like opened up Microsoft Paint and let him just like kind of draw for a little bit? Do you think like he would? Do you think he'd stop?
No. And what's worse is that like everybody would enable him, and Caroline Leavitt would be like, "It's very good. It's a flag now." And then like whatever like
Congress doesn't need to approve.
Yeah, exactly. And then like the Democrats would be like, "Okay." Well,
pick the right,
there's no rule that says he can't.
You know, what they would say is, this has nothing to do with affordability. Get your eyes on the ball.
Cory Booker would give like a 10-hour speech being like, and that doesn't lower the price of eggs. Got his ass.
I hate this world. I hate this world.
Maybe we should talk about things that we're enjoying because it's bleak.
Yeah.
We're seasonally depressed. I'm seasonally depressed.
It's the coldest day of the year right now. It was negative 12 driving in.
It is so cold. Trees are exploding. And I actually read the articles beyond the headline. That's like, trees don't actually just like combust. They get cracks. They call them frost cracks, which is even funnier. Because that's what Frosty the Snowman calls his ass.
Hey!
I was like, frost crack. I'm 12. I'm a 12-year-old boy. But yeah, it is cold. My kids don't have school. They're both in the house right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no school. It is so cold.
How cold is it? Sorry. I'm so sorry. It just came out of me. I don't know where I am.
I don't know, man. So anyway, what are we doing to enjoy ourselves during the decline of the American empire?
So this isn't novel. This isn't like a novel take by any means, but like one of the big acts that came out of last year was the band Geese, right? They had their album Getting Killed. The singer Cameron Winter also released his solo album, Heavy Metal. Mm-hmm. Which has been all over the internet because he's kind of just going around to these big theaters with and sitting down back to the crowd on a piano. And it's just it's big feelings, froggy singing, just big feeling music. I'm just having a blast with this record. It is something that I will turn on when I'm driving. I'll turn on when I'm panicking about how do you prepare for one of these fucking shows. It is just giving me life in a way that I just am. I'm loving.
I love that. I mean, I love that you boys have a singer-songwriter who has feelings.
And he said God is real. So this time it's not a joke. He's not even kidding. So
what? I don't understand this reference.
Go on. What's causing you joy?
Landman.
Are there new episodes coming out?
So the finale, we have the finale, I believe, this weekend.
Okay.
I'm behind on episodes because I'm really bad at watching TV. Mm-hmm. I am insufferable. I just will read a book.
Yeah.
And so that's what I have been doing. And then I got off track because I didn't watch any TV on vacation. Then I came back and I had to lock in. And I read this incredible book, Whistler, by Ann Patchett. It's not out yet. I got an advanced reader. I get a lot of advanced readers. And I just loved it. I ripped through it. It was so beautiful and so heartbreaking. And it's just a story about a woman who reconnects with a former stepfather. Her mom's had three husbands. She connects with a former stepfather, kind of learns a little bit more about his life. And it's just got these just like beautiful moments. I was reading at a bar, one of my favorite things to do, and I like had this moment where there was this line where the main character was saying like, I never wanted to have children because I couldn't do that to them. And another character says, do what? And she says, childhood. And the way that I was like, oh, And I literally was like at the bar and I was like, oh no. And the waitress was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then gave me another glass of wine. I was like, it's just this novel.
And you did it again. And you son of a bitch, you did it again, Ann.
And Patchett, you old son of a gun.
The old so-and-so.
I love that about her writing is that she'll take these like very like simple, ordinary things and just make them so poignant and so beautiful. So Ann Patchett's back, baby.
Do you know when the publication date is?
I believe it is March of this year, but you can pre-order it. And pre-ordering books always helps authors. Yeah. I mean, Ann Patchett is running an independent bookstore, so she probably does actually need the money.
So go fly. Where is that bookstore based on?
It's in Nashville.
Fly into Nashville, go pre-order at her store.
At her store.
And then fly back to go pick it up.
Nashville is warmer. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm also enjoying Landman because I've got a couple episodes to catch up on. It is the stupidest show in America and I can't stop watching it. But I realized, you know what it is?
What is it?
It's a man soap opera. It's a soap opera. It's a soap opera for men. It's like, it's one of those shows. And that's what Taylor Sheridan shows are. Mm. They're just goofy soap operas, like melodramas that men can feel like they can watch, you know, but it's like cool. 'Cause there's like horses and oil and cartels and
you, I'm already hooked. Sorry. That sounds great.
Yeah. It's really, at first when I started watching, I was like, I don't know. Does Allie Larder deserve better than what she's been written? And I was like, at this point, what she has done with that role in this show is brilliant. And I went from feeling weird about it to now I'm like all in. Also, this show passes the Bechdel test in a way that like so many quote unquote liberal shows don't.
Name names.
Succession for one. I mean, it does, but like kind of squeaks by. Also, was that show about that office, that Apple TV show where everybody's getting their brains cut in half?
Oh, and it's as if my innie might remember what it's called.
Severance.
That's what it is.
Real rough one on Severance passing the Bechdel test.
I loved it.
Severance really annoyed me in the second season.
You didn't like Severance.
I loved the first season. By the second season, I was like, this is annoying. They'll have whole episodes where like it's atmospheric and nothing happens with the plot.
Yeah.
And that started to piss me off. So that's when this bitch got out her little notebook and started making notes. I was like, oh, you want to be the cool, smart show? How cool and smart are you? Actually, you scratch the surface, man.
It's like a Mark Frost television show.
I don't care.
You didn't like Severance season two?
No, I did
not. You didn't find it to be like a very fun ride?
I did not find it to be. There were some episodes that were fun, but I think it got too hung up on being like
mysterious,
creating atmosphere and not enough on actual story and plot. And it pissed me off and I peaced out. And this is actually one of my most controversial takes because a lot of friends of mine got really mad at me, but I would like to say, I think a lot of people felt that way about the show. And like, one of my strengths is not having like cool hip taste.
Yeah, we know this. You didn't like Severance season two.
My strength you is didn't actually like, it's knowing mood. What the people like.
It's mood. It's a mood, boy. You know what? It's atmosphere. It's an environment. You get to live in it. It's very interesting. It's fun. Anxiety provoking. It makes you feel things.
If I want to feel things, I'll just turn on the news. If I want a show with a plot, give me a story. And you don't have to sacrifice mood for story.
I won't even buy this this assertion that there's no plot. It had a great plot. Season two, great plot, great mood, atmospheric, very fun.
My time.
Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/LizLens is the home of Dingus of the Week, a Men Yell at Me Media production. Love it or hate it. Help us keep it coming. Here's what you can do to help support the show. One, like and subscribe on our YouTube. Go over to YouTube right now. I don't care if you have to create an account. Like it. Subscribe to it. Help us on that platform too. Rate and review us on Spotify. Write really sweet things. Write the sweetest things you ever wrote on one of these on like, Apple, on
I
Spotify.
Love her. I love that woman's opinions on television shows.
That say
wow
for Zach only.
I've never heard a more correct woman in my life.
I've never heard a woman. Three, share this episode with a friend. And last, become a patron of the Dingus Arts at just $5 a month. You too can help us keep this rolling all year long. Go to patreon.com/LizLenz, LYZLENZ.
We do actually want to hear your dinguses. So please leave us a voice memo at memo.fm/dingus. We love to play little dinguses. So if it's your brother-in-law, if it's somebody in the news you think we missed, if it's somebody you want to rant about, if you want to leave a little voice memo saying all of Liz's pop culture opinions are correct and she is the voice of the people, Liz is the Vox Populi, then say that. We would love
Don't say
to
that.
Hear from you. We
I beg.
Want to hear Please. From you, and I apologize that you came to this podcast and listened to a man tell you what to do. We're better than that. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And now let's see our dingus of the week.